Welcome to Bench Boost Boys, Game Week 26 forecast, Dallas Buyers Club, with me, Gav, and my lovely co-host, Scott. How are you, Scott?
I'm feeling really good that we didn't go with the original title over there of the episode. I feel like we just really pulled that one out of the drawer right at the end there.
Well, all credit to you, mate. It's a great one.
Thanks.
Dallas Buyers Club. What could it mean?
It's about HIV and the impact of the cost of those drugs.
And to get a hold of the drugs.
Yeah.
Also, Stuart Dallas, who doesn't, to my knowledge, have HIV. And on that bombshell, welcome to the show. Get a bit of admin out of the way quick. Join our private league on FPL, P2IFBX. Scott, are you still top of that?
I'm not, thanks to a good friend of mine, the Prince of Nigeria. I can't remember his name. Let me just take a cheeky look. I will say this. I used to make these idle threats to people that were joining the thing. Don't join if you're going to be better than me. The one person that we've had join in the last week, his name is Sensei X or Owen Adoka. He's joined and he is currently sitting 47 points ahead of me in first place, which puts me to second. And it frustrates me because every single one of my mini leagues, it's number one, number one, number one, number one. Bench Boost Boys, number two.
You'll always be number two in the Bench Boost Boys, and you know it.
How are you positioned on the table? I've got it in front of me. You're fourth.
Anyway, join it.
Join it. Don't be an Owen, though. Join it under me.
No, bring it on. More people with more points than Scott, please.
Marion.
P2IFBX. We're all over that Twitter, at Bench Boost Boys. The website is benchboostboys.club. So we're going to kick off a show with our Game Week 25 review, how our teams got on. We'll take a quick break, have a little cheeky look at the watch list before breaking down the huge double Game Week 26 fixtures.
Yep, and then we've got our own teams to talk about, and we've got some tasty treats in the mailbag.
It's a full sack. We'll be back. Are you pleased with your Game Week 25 performance, Scott?
Not as pleased as some. I scored 24 points above the average.
The average was 55.
Yeah, sorry for me to draw that out, but I was doing the maths in my head as I was saying it. I scored 79, so didn't quite hit 80. Wasn't upset with how things panned out with respect to my choices. Obviously, Antonio scored. I can't actually remember off the top of my head who they played. Liverpool, maybe?
West Ham beat Tottenham.
Tottenham. There you go, 2-1. That's right.
Great, Antonio great scored result for them.
Antonio scored a goal from arguably a phenomenal cross from Jared Bowen. Mm. I remember it going in and thinking, oh, that's a great assist. Hopefully that was Kufal. It wasn't. It was Jared Bowen. Didn't even get credited with the assist. Good goal. And I thought, oh, I have Antonio on my bench. And I think that was one of the first games of the game week. I think it was on a Saturday night because I did watch the game. It was a long time ago. That's the only place I really missed out on points. So I left Antonio on the bench. My bench ended up scoring 11. Blanked with Martinez as my goalkeeper. You know, I ended up having Matty Target on the bench as well. So I didn't double down on Aston Villa defenders, which was good because two of my defenders did quite well. Obviously, Stuart Dallas. Now, in the first game, Leeds conceded and, you know, Stuart Dallas wasn't looking. I wasn't going, oh, it's all right. There's another game. I thought, fuck me, he's going to score four across two. But, you know, Danny Ings was, for whatever reason, was...
A lot of people went for Ings, didn't they?
Yeah, he was benched in the second game, which was really good for Leeds, you know, because he's quite a dangerous player. But, yeah, Dallas with the goal, the clean sheet, and the three bonus points for 15.
In the second game.
Yeah, in the second game. The first game, obviously, nothing happened there, but... Other big performers for me were Bruno Fernandes, 12 points, goal, assists, three bonus points. Did get a yellow card, so it wasn't 13 like Barnes. I don't have Barnes, but I just thought I'd mention that it was a great performance from Barnes. I have the other bloke in the Leicester midfield, Madison, who actually did really well. He got 9. You know, we've talked about this probably once a week, every week, since Harvey Barnes and Madison started playing really well, and that's doesn't matter which one of those two you have. They're both going to do quite well, and 1 week, Barnes will score a lot of points. The next week, Madison will score a lot of points. And it seems to be going like that.
Well, you've also mentioned, you know, it wouldn't be a crazy idea to have both of them in your team.
Yeah, and I might actually talk a little bit about that later. Bamford obviously scored 12 points in the second of Leeds' game, so I got 16 all told from Bamford.
With 12 because you captained him?
I did captain him, yeah. So yeah, I turned so that, six, yeah, that's, sorry, yeah, 6 points, right? I turned that into 16 points. Blanks this week, Son, Salah, Gundogan, Martinez as well, obviously. DCL, I actually, four is normally a blank.
He came off the bench, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but when you're playing for 20 minutes and you're playing against Tottenham, four's a pretty damn good score. So for me, I'm not going to consider that a blank this week. I'm pretty happy with it. So 79 all out. My game week rank was 760,000, sitting at an overall rank of 474. So finally cemented in under that 500,000 mark. If I can keep this going, obviously I'll just keep improving. Like I said, I kind of do want to finish in the top 100K. Sure. I don't know if I'm going to get there by the end of it, but we're about
top 500,000, not to be sniffed at.
No, not at all. But we're 65% of the way through the season. So I've got quite a few games in a massive game week coming up next week. And that's where, you know, any of those players that kind of fluke their way through Christmas with the set and forget teams who have probably stopped playing Premier League will probably find themselves falling out of those top spots after next week. Because obviously it's a huge double game week, which we will get to. But before we do that, tell me about how you went.
Before I actually leap into that, little brief moment to recap the mailbag question from last week, which was Pope or Martinez? And Ben asked that question. You said Martinez, I said Pope. I know that Ben went with your advice, if you like, and he went Martinez. Told you so.
I also said at the time, I hope he goes Martinez, because if he goes Pope and Pope scores more, Ben will possibly get closer to leapfrogging me, and that didn't happen. So suck shit, Ben. And actually, pretty exciting news for viewers or listeners. Ben's probably going to be co-hosting for the next couple of weeks.
Guest co-host, lucky us, eh? So we'll be able to.
I'm having talk a couple of weeks off the podcast. I think Ben's going to be.
You got burnout.
Yeah, I need a break. So I think Ben's going to be the guest presenter for the next couple of weeks, and that's going to be exciting. He can talk shit about me, but while I have the microphone.
Yep.
Eat shit, Ben. I'm glad you didn't play Pope.
Ben, you should have listened to me, mate, because I, nice segue here, did have Pope in goal. So Pope got the clean sheet and the two bonus points for 8. I had me in defence, 5 points. Cancelo, 5 points. Dallas, same situation as you. So basically a blank in the first game, 15 points in the next. Fernandez as well, 12 points. Rafinha was my captain. I was a little bit nervous after the first game where I turned 4 points into 8 and then he just smashed it in the next. So
4 points into 8, it's not too bad when it's you've got a game up your sleeve.
I just, if I captain someone, it's a bit like, you know, we call under 5 a blank. Same with the captain under 10. I want to get double digits. More than did that in the end. I did have Harvey Barnes, goal, assist, 3 bonus points for 13. Total game week score, 99 points, which put me just inside the 28,000th for the game week, which is by far the best I've done in the game.
I'm going to applaud that now. That's actually a phenomenal result. When you're talking about,
happy.
You know, 8 million. Oh God, you're talking about 8 million players playing a game, and you're in the top. You know, even being in the top 80,000, that's an incredible achievement. So well done.
Thank you very much. As I am playing a bit of catch up, that puts me just outside the top million overall. My goal for a while, and I guess I don't have quite as lofty ambitions as you, is to get under that top mil, which I'd say I'm on track to.
Oh, you'll do that. You'll smash that next week. Did you talk about your total score yet?
Yeah, 99 points.
Yeah.
Oh, my total score?
No. Just on that, 99 is a huge score. So well done. You know, I think last week I was disappointed not to crack the ton again because. You know, I think for FPL managers, a lot of FPL managers, now this season's pretty unique. There are a lot of double game weeks. For a lot of FPL managers, it's just that feeling of cracking the 100 is a massive accomplishment. So 99's, you know, really well done, especially for a game week where there was only one double up in fixtures. So, yeah.
Yep, I had the three Leeds guys and they all scored in that second game. Bench-wise, not too much to shout about. Obviously, in hindsight, could have played Calvert-Lewin instead of Kane, for instance.
You're not doing that, though, are you?
You're not doing that.
Not when Tottenham's playing West Ham and Everton are in the Merseyside derby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my blanks were Dallas first game, Gundogan, Salah, Harry Kane, and I guess Patrick Bamford's first game, but we can forgive that given the overall. And that's that. So a fantastic game week for me.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break and we'll jump into some players in the watch list and then, you know, probably crack straight on to the Game Week 26 fixtures because it's a long list.
Cool. Bench Boss Boys.
Watch list update.
Very short watch list for me, and actually mine this week just includes players that I've talked about in previous weeks. I've more or less decided, and I didn't even consult you, that it's just going to be what I spotted in this current game week, and they're players that aren't already in my team. So I could have even mentioned them last week or the week before. So I'll get started. For me, Lookman for Fulham and Lingard for West Ham. Eat that.
Good shout, both of them. I mean, Lookman's penalty many weeks ago. We've forgotten about it. It was awful, but he's a good player.
He's doing all right.
Lingard going great guns for West Ham. Honestly, probably the move he needed to really kickstart his career because he was obviously sitting on the sidelines there at Man United for a while and not doing a lot. But
he's only on loan, and there was something in the news yesterday about West Ham are trying to really push Man United to commit to some agreement where they can offer a fee and get him permanently. And it's one, that old adage of they've seen a guy do well, so suddenly they're like, oh, no, we never said that. But you'd think it was in a contract, but anyway, he's doing great. Good for him.
One player you didn't mention on your watch list, he's not on mine, but I'll talk about him right now because I know one of the guys in our mini league has got him, and that's Josh Maha. So we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He's come in.
Is it Maha or Maja?
Maja, probably. I just like to assume that since he's a footballer, it's a silent yay.
Okay.
So he's brought Maha in actually for the double game week, and I've talked about don't pull the trigger too early on these sorts of things, but obviously Fulham's not going to be affected by Champions League football or Europa League football.
They're sat at home watching
ever
it.
In their fucking life. So he's just brought in Maha straight away. Maja, sorry. And I just find it interesting that, you know, he's come in, Josh Maja, he's been here for about five games and he's scored about two or three goals. So he's going quite well.
He's working quite well as a kind of poacher.
And someone I saw recently on Twitter, someone asking the question of who are the cheapest players that start and play regularly, and Josh Maja at 5.5 along with Danny Welbeck is in that for the strikers.
Welbeck, he was on the bench at the weekend.
Yeah, Welbeck isn't, you know, Welbeck isn't a
not a guaranteed starter.
But he did play for Brighton. He did come in off the bench.
One thing to note actually about Maja though is when Mitrovic comes back, as much as even when he was fit, he wasn't guaranteed to start himself anymore. Just be interesting to see what the manager does there.
Yeah. Now, Europa League fixtures haven't finished this week, so my watch list here, I can tell you there's two players on my watch list this week that will definitely not be on my watch list next week.
Mm-hmm.
Champions League and Europa League fixtures notwithstanding. Harvey Barnes, Leicester, I want him. I know I have Madison. I am getting greedy with wanting the double up there. I think those two players are playing exactly the same way Kane and Son played at the start of the season. They're just playing off each other.
Yeah. Good synergy.
And at the moment, Madison has an injury cloud. He's 75%. He's got a hip injury. So for me, it's do I bring Barnes in for Madison as a replacement?
Straight swap.
If I hear from the press conferences on Friday that he's not going to be playing, or alternatively, if I see that he's not even as a substitute in that Europa League game, because they won't put him on the substitute bench if he's not fit to play.
Mm.
If he makes an appearance on the subs bench there, then I know that he's probably likely to start the next Premier League game. So if I see that, then Barnes will come in for one of my players, and I'll talk about transfers later, but he's on my watch list. Harry Kane is another one. Again, he's not going to be on it next week. And I'm telling you right now, I will have him in for this next game week. And the reason I'm getting him in is because I love Tottenham's fixtures. And Harry Kane is due a goal. The next player is Matheus Pereira. Now, he had a great game week a couple of weeks ago. And before that, I think it was about 8 weeks ago, he had two great game weeks in a row. Scored, I think, about three goals in four game weeks. Now, I've had him at the start of the season. The reason I do want him for these upcoming fixtures is because I can tell you right now, West Brom actually have probably the most favourable fixtures. Brighton, Hove Albion and Everton. Now, Everton's not easy, but Brighton and Hove Albion arguably do give away a lot of the ball in midfield. And at the moment, Everton haven't been playing super convincing football. Everton do probably have the best fixtures of the game week, but Matheus Pereira at 6 mil, he's cheap as chips. So if I'm going to consider a potential route into Harry Kane, and I'm dropping down one of my midfield players, who I will talk about soon, Pereira for me is a choice I can't scoff at.
Worth a look. On that note, take a deep breath, because we're about to break down 17 fixtures for the double game week 26. You ready?
You actually asked me that question as I was taking a sip of that bourbon, so now I'm ready.
Are you dropping hints on this week's sponsor?
This week's sponsor is Maker's Mark Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's handmade. Anytime you're in the neighbourhood, stop and visit us at our distillery near Loretto in Kentucky. This beautifully restored home of Maker's Mark is a designated Kentucky and National Historic Landmark. Maker's Mark.
Thanks, Scott. Bench Boss Boys. Game week 26. You want to kick us off?
I don't, but Man City do.
Ooh.
Man City will be kicking off against West Ham in Manchester. You've really taken my feedback to heart and not put a lot of notes in here. I feel bad. But I will say this about this fixture. It's a big fixture. West Ham are playing really well.
Well, it's hard not to look at West Ham's fixtures and their upcoming fixtures. So obviously, they've got one this week. And think, is this where their bubble gets burst? Because they've been on fire.
And so
have City.
Yeah, that's the thing. City have too. But we know Pep loves rotating players. KDB's back in. I don't know what that's going to do to the midfield, whether or not Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, who gets rotated out for this fixture. But, well, Foden, obviously. West Ham can afford to throw everything into this fixture because they're not playing two games this week. So for them, this is the fixture they need to worry about.
Mm.
Man City do have to worry about conserving some of their better players' energies when they play Wolves. Obviously, they're probably looking at this fixture as the more important of the two fixtures because Wolves aren't necessarily a massive threat.
Tell that to Leeds.
I've left my Hammers players on the bench. Antonio, obviously, that could bite me in the arses again, but Man City's a hard fixture and Antonio isn't playing two games, so that's an easy choice, as well as Soufal. So the reason I'm not transferring either of those players out is because they are playing in the blank game week 29. But for me, this fixture isn't going to be as easy for Man City as people might think, just because West Ham can throw everything into this fixture.
Good summary, Scott. West Brom, Brighton and Hove, Albion.
I've said for this one, this would normally be my yawn match of the week.
But you're watching Pereira now.
I'm watching Pereira. I also have Sanchez in goal for Brighton.
Yeah.
Now, Brighton have had a really good run of, apart from that game against Crystal Palace on the weekend, clean sheets.
Yeah.
Their defensive players have been playing really well. So I've been looking at those guys for a while. For me, if Madison is genuinely injured, Pereira will be coming into my team and he'll be starting in my starting lineup, my starting 11. So this game does matter to me if the press conferences on Friday or the substitutions bench on that Slavia Prague game don't tell me something that I don't already know, and that's, is Madison going to play both of these two fixtures coming up? If he's only going to play one, I can tell you right now he's out because I want 11 double game weekers.
As much as you'll be paying attention for Sanchez, Sanchez has got one game this week, so I'm assuming you're not starting Sanchez?
No, so Martinez is my other keeper. Aston Villa do have two games.
Okay, cool.
But I'll tell you what, prior to, I think, some shuffling around, I was keeping on to Sanchez because Brighton do play in game week 29.
Right, fair enough. Leeds versus Aston Villa. So Leeds are going to be on cloud nine, aren't they? Just as an update, Grealish is currently rated on the FPL site as 50%. We've off-air had a bit of banter about the fact that the manager, Smith, was talking about it's not long-term, but it's in FPL terms, it feels bloody long.
Yeah, so he mentioned that it could be up to a month, which, yeah, you're right, it's not a long-term injury, it's not season-ending.
Five, six games in FPL. Though.
But in FPL, with these tight fixtures, yeah, you're right, three or four fixtures, and can you afford to leave $7 million sitting on your bench? The answer is absolutely not. So I think we'll see a massive decline in Grealish's ownership.
By chance, more than judgment, I had got rid of Grealish before the last game week to make my moves to get Rafinha and Kane in my team, so I guess it worked out well for me.
I think I sent you a text probably when the game week kicked off last week, Grealish will be the player I bring in for to free up funds for Kane from one of my big midfield players, one of my premiums. And that plan's gone out the window, which is why I'm talking about Pereira and Barnes as well.
So I know we're jumping the gun slightly because we will talk about our plans in more detail later. But whilst we're on the topic then, so you currently have Grealish in your team still?
I don't. Sorry, what I was going to say was I was going to bring Grealish in.
Oh, sorry.
And sell my premium. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So on this one, I think part of the reason why I'm actually a little bit excited for this fixture, I don't think Aston Villa will keep a clean sheet. I think the way that Leeds are playing right now, they're capable of scoring at any time. Bamford's playing well. Rafinha's playing phenomenally. So is Dallas.
The only thing I would say when you talk about team selection is that Leeds do only have one game this game week. So depending on how stacked your squad is, some people might be keeping some of those Leeds assets on the bench if they're keeping them.
Yeah, I'll talk about my Leeds assets a little bit later. Dallas, definitely someone I'm going to be keeping. But when it comes to this match, what I'll be looking for is those save points for Martinez, because Martinez is an extremely good goalkeeper. He always gets quite a lot of saves in a game. So I'm expecting at least one or two save points. Now, if he can keep a clean sheet, perfect. I reckon he'll be set for a bonus, because I can't see Aston Villa racking up too many goals themselves. I think it'll come down. I think if Aston Villa keep a clean sheet, I think it'll be probably a 1 or a 2-0 victory, and I think you'll find that the bonus points are going to be going to a few of the defenders.
Cool. So the next two matches, you haven't written as much, but effectively these are your yawn games of the week, aren't they? So Newcastle Wolves. It's no secret that Callum Wilson's on a long-term out, so he's injured, so he's going to be playing. I've got nothing else to say about that game, have you?
Not even a little bit. I think Wolves only have one fixture. They've got two. They're playing City, sorry. So yeah. Maybe it's Newcastle only has one fixture, and that's probably why.
Yeah, it looks like
you wouldn't even look at Newcastle assets, even if they did have three fixtures.
And then the next game is Crystal Palace Fulham. Only things to really note are Zaha is still listed as an unknown return date, and let's see what Josh Maguire does. But again, apart from that.
Yeah, and you're still looking at Lookman.
Having a look. But yeah, otherwise nothing going there. And then a big game, Leicester versus Arsenal.
Yeah, so I'm going to be, like I said, waiting for the Slavia Prague game before I make any commitments to this. But it's hard to ignore Harvey Barnes at the moment, irrespective of whether or not Madison's fit. I do want him in my team. Harvey Barnes is playing incredibly well at the moment. He's playing the kind of football, and I'm 90% sure he's English, but he's playing the kind of football that gets you a look in the English squad.
He is actually, and I hadn't even considered about that prospect of him getting called up for England. But I know Southgate's been at a bunch of games lately, so he must be on his radar.
Well, Southgate probably plays FPL himself, and he's probably sitting there going, I need him in my team.
Yeah, maybe.
I wonder if he's got the caveat for himself that he has only English players in his FPL team.
That's a good notion. It'd probably be a shit team. So as you mentioned earlier in the show, Madison is on a 75%. Again, no secret, but Justin's on an unknown return date.
Yeah, James Justin's cooked to this year, and it sucks because he's been a phenomenal FPL asset. So I do hope for his sake he gets better soon, because he's got a massive career in front of him. He's playing so well. He could be playing for Man United next season or...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And I am still kind of keeping a loose eye on the likes of Saka and Smith Rowe, but Arsenal are just so patchy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's their best players. Hector Bellerin is, there's a little bit of uncertainty around his future right now. Yeah. There's talk about him going to PSG and all that sort of stuff. So Tierney, I know also a few people are interested in him.
Tierney only just come back from
injury. For a hot minute, he was all the flavour of the week.
Well, and Aubameyang comes to life once every 3 months.
But that's the thing, we're talking about predominantly midfield players, so Smith Rowe, Saka, and Aubameyang, and it's really hard to fit any of those three players in when you've got the likes of Barnes playing consistently.
Midfield's so hard.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could have seven players in my midfield and one striker, but that's just not how it is.
Conversation for another day. So Tottenham versus Burnley. You've put down here that this is likely to be an easy fixture for Spurs. Maybe. Spurs are coming off a loss to West Ham.
I don't think it's going to be an easy fixture for Spurs. I might have probably missed
Burnley are an awkward team.
Burnley are an awkward team because they have very good defenders.
They're not going to score much.
They've got no teeth.
In fact, not that it matters from an FPL perspective because no one's going, but I think Barnes, the forward for Burnley, is out injured anyway. Not sure if Chris Wood's up to much these days.
No, he's not. So, I think he even, there's maybe an injury cloud for him as well. But with respect to this fixture, me and Pope like I said, would have a hard time keeping them out. And I know you transferred Pope out. I'm keeping me on my field because he's got that double. And Burnley are always capable of keeping a clean sheet. So,
oh, I think this game's honestly got 0-0 written all over it.
Well, whether or not Burnley concede in this game or not, I think... Yeah, look, I think Burnley, if they're going to keep a clean sheet, it's going to be in this fixture here.
I feel very awkward about Spurs.
It makes me nervous saying that because of what I might tell you a little bit later when it comes to players like Harry Kane, who I've already said I want to bring into my team. But yeah, I'm gonna keep me in my starting 11, but I'm not convinced that Tottenham will score.
That's my feeling. Like I feel about Tottenham. You know, you've got, it's the same situation as Liverpool at the moment, and we'll get to their fixture in a second. But you've got these luxury assets that have been scoring lots of points. Suddenly, maybe they're not, and it's how long do you hang on to them?
Yeah. How much faith do we have in Jose Mourinho? The next fixture is Chelsea-Man United. Huge game.
Massive.
Massive game. Chelsea have the toughest fixtures this game week. They're playing Man United, and then they're Liverpool playing Liverpool. Away. So this is probably Tuchel's biggest test since he's taken over. But 100%. Since he's taken over, in those six games, he's had... two draws and four wins. So he hasn't lost a game yet. And it's because of the way he's bringing on experienced defenders like Alonso and Rudiger, and he's bringing in more defensive assets like Kante and Jorginho and more regularly.
Give him Mason Mount a chance.
Yeah, and so...
Maybe, ever so possibly, bring in the best out of Werner. I mean, the best is a bit of a reach, but...
Well, yeah, you're right. But at the same time, too, Frank Lampard was... playing some really young, exciting players like Reece James, Chilwell as well, very attacking fullbacks. And it was costly for Chelsea. They weren't always keeping clean sheets because of that.
Yeah.
Whereas right now they've got these players like Azpilicueta's getting a lot more.
Alonso.
Yeah.
Tuchel clearly likes Alonso, doesn't he?
Well, he clearly likes clean sheets because that's where his teams are set up. They're not playing boring football because then you have players like Mason Mount, Kai Havertz, Timo Werner playing exciting football up the front. It's in the
he's
midfield.
He's obviously a very different coach to Lampard. And in fairness, he's managed PSG, so he's more experienced than Lampard. I mean, most managers are. So it just feels like a completely different game.
What they're really missing now is a really exciting midfield. I know back in the day, and arguably Hazard was a winger, a left winger.
Sometimes he played that number 10 role, especially later in his time at Chelsea.
But he did also play quite regularly from the halfway line forward.
Mm.
Whereas right now, Chelsea doesn't need to do that because they've got Kante and Jorginho playing.
Just kind of in
playing
that sitting
sit
role.
There. Yeah, so you don't have that excitement in the midfield. So you can feel safe to push your wingers further forward and let those teams run the balls down the line because then you have those experienced players in the
midfield. Ultimately,
this is very analytical.
It
right
is.
Now.
It
and
is. For not, us, it is like
yeah,
FPL.
We don't do that.
I was gonna actually just sew that up by saying, ultimately, speaking for myself, still a few too many chips up in the air with Chelsea to really know who to bank on. Clearly, he does like Alonso and Rudiger. Maybe Mount. I'm going to wait a bit longer.
And Jorginho, we talked about, takes their penalties again.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back on duty.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about this is...
we could mention Man United
this
as well.
This fixture is the only reason I'm not going to captain Bruno Fernandes. Now, I know I might eat my words next week because Bruno Fernandes is always capable of getting double-digit hauls. He proved that again on the weekend. He could do it here.
Let me give you another perspective on that then. He might get 2 or maybe 4 points in this game. Let's say he just gets an assist. And then in the next game, which we'll get to, which is Crystal Palace away, he might then get 12 points. So he might be worth captaining still. So
just pointing at Maker's Mark.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Do you want some?
I will, actually.
No, slide that across. Sorry, listeners, this is just too fat. Dude's trying to lean over a table.
It's fuel. It's fuel. We need it.
Let's move on to Sheffield United.
Well, before we do, and I know we've been in this game forever, anything else to say about Manchester United apart from Fernandes? I mean, generally not. Cavani out injured, if anyone cares.
Everyone likes Luke Shaw. I don't have him in my team. He's pretty popular at the moment. He's one of those template defenders. People are getting in on their wild cards.
Right.
But yeah, nothing else. I do want to move on to Sheffield Liverpool because if we don't, we'll be here all night.
Bruce to watch.
Remember that? That hasn't happened.
Never
for
didn't
a while.
Pay off, did it?
With Salah likely coming out of my team, spoiler alert, this week, I don't think I'm going to have much interest in this fixture. And part of the reason why
Salah. So you're going to dump Salah?
I think I'm going to break up with him.
Okay, let's leave it there because we'll get to that in detail when we carry on. So carry on talking about this fixture.
As you were, this fixture, I'm unlikely to have any interest in it because after that, I'm left with no Liverpool players, no Sheffield players. And part of the reason why I don't feel bad about that is because Liverpool are on a steady decline.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
It's hard to watch.
All right, we'll leave that there then, to be honest, because Salah's the only Liverpool player I've got to.
You don't want to talk about his chances in this fixture? Because, I mean, this is best fixture of the game week.
So let me tell you my thoughts then. So I'm obviously watching Liverpool completely slide down the table. Salah's had a few blanks lately. If there was any redemption, it's got to be this fixture. There's that old thing about Salah does better away, or was that Fernandes, one of them?
It was Fernandes, yeah.
Oh, well, we'll make it up. If he's going to suddenly spring into action, it's going to be this game. So I don't mind having him for this fixture, but I'll probably have a tantrum when he blanks. Moving on, Everton versus Southampton. Everton coming off the back of a Merseyside derby win, which was massive.
Huge win for them, yeah.
Massive.
I've heard of this. I use the term now as well, and I'm not going to take credit for it, obviously. I think it was another podcast, actually, a couple of guys that coined the phrase, the bus team.
What does it mean?
When you're talking about bus teams in real life,
B-U-S, as in a bus.
As in a bus. So normally when you're talking about parking the bus, you're talking about a team that plays defensively. But for us, a bus team in Fantasy Premier League is when the game week kicks off, straight away you pick your team for the next game week in case you get hit by a bus.
Oh.
So my bus team has the armband on DCL because Everton's fixtures are fucking tasty this week.
Interesting. I didn't know it was called that, but that has crossed my mind at some times where I'm like, let's just straight away after the game week kicks off, slap the armband on someone just in case I forget.
Yeah, the bus team. And I like Everton's two fixtures. DCL's playing well. Southampton seem to be a team to avoid at the moment when it comes to their players. I know there's I talked about this a little while. Minamino, he's been playing really well since he's gone across Liverpool.
Yeah.
One of the Twitter users we interact with quite regularly loves Minamino. And I remember seeing you reply to a tweet this morning. Made a call that Minamino would outscore
any Leeds guys or whatever.
No, Rafinha. Explicitly, yeah. She said that. And you said,
that hasn't aged
this didn't age well. Yeah. And obviously you were coming off the back of
A lot of people, as well as Ings, for that last week, for those, it was Leeds and Southampton had the double fixtures. A lot of people banked on Minamino as well, which I don't blame them for doing. But
no, he's a good player.
He was on the bench for that Leeds game and, you know, we know how that ended.
Yeah.
Great player, though.
I still think he's a quality player. And me too. The next few game weeks notwithstanding, I don't think I can fit him into my team anywhere, but maybe towards the back end of the season, if he keeps playing well, he might end up creeping into my thoughts again. Don't really have much to add about this fixture.
No, Walker Peters still unknown return date. He was a popular fullback earlier, or you know, defender earlier in the season. Okay, Manchester City versus Wolves. Obviously, Wolves did beat Leeds. Man City are beating everyone, and this is their second game of the week. It's both of their teams' second game of the week.
My only thoughts are Pep Roulette. It's hard to predict who's actually going to play. I've got Gundogan and Diaz starting both because I like Man City's fixtures. Diaz could play twice. I'm not super convinced on Gundogan.
Gundogan, when the last double game week City had, he didn't play both games.
Yeah.
And also, KDB's back. Yeah. And you're quite right. It could be Foden that misses out. But I am even wondering, and I'm keeping half an eye on Gundogan with regards to, as KDB's warming up now, will Gundogan kind of sit further back, and then as much as he's not an expensive player, could end up being time to get rid of him. That said, I did study that game they played at the weekend, and I wanted to know if Gundogan was still getting opportunities, and he did have a goal-scoring opportunity. He fluffed it, but he did. So did KDB, but huge price difference between the two.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, if you keep the faith in Gundogan for the next 3 weeks and nothing happens and we see that decline in points, no one's going to blame you because he did so much over the course of such a short period that he is someone that we can justifiably keep in our team and just trust in the next couple of weeks and sit there and see how KDB goes. Yeah, so wait and see.
Wolves, nothing. Burnley.
Wolves, fuck off.
Burnley versus Leicester. Burnley defend hard. Leicester score hard.
Yeah.
I would expect a Leicester win, to be honest. They're in fine form.
Truthfully, I would not be shocked if Burnley were to lose this fixture 3-0, 4-0. And not only Maddison and Barnes be involved in this, because Maddison should probably be back for one of the two fixtures, and this would be the one. Those two guys to be involved, and Vardy for not to be involved. And I only say that because just seems like Leicester City don't need to lean on Vardy as much as they used to. And Maddison and Barnes scoring for fun.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Leicester win written on that one. Sheffield United versus Aston Villa. Sheffield United, they've got a few wins recently, but they're still not much cop, are they?
I'm gonna call it now. Matty Target for Aston Villa. I think that they will concede in their first game, but I think they are capable of keeping a clean sheet here.
Oh, Sheffield United have been not apart from I quite McGoldrick. Like McGoldrick. Yeah, I like him.
He's a nice looking bald fuck.
I like him. He might not be prolific, but he's literally their only danger up front.
But Brewster. He scores.
Sorry.
He scores some really good goals, McGoldrick. He's actually a good player. He's a phenomenal player. He should be playing but for a team like, I don't know.
Arsenal. But as a as a team, they're not a huge goal threat. So you're right. Villa should be in for a clean sheet in that game.
Well, I'm calling it early. I reckon Matty Target's going to score 8 points. I thought you were going to say eight goals. Next 2 games.
I thought you were going to say 8 goals.
No, fuck no. He's going to score 8 points. He's going to get a clean sheet here, 6-pointer, and he's going to get a 2 points in the previous. He's going to score 8. I would bet money on it if I could organise that bet somewhere. But what I'm looking at right now for this fixture is Martinez getting in the double digits. Because I do think that McGoldrick, like you said, is a great player. Martinez should score a couple of goals. And if Aston Villa don't have a massive attacking threat anymore with Grealish being out, and I know he's not always involved in every single goal, but he gives them a lot going forward. What I think is Aston Villa won't win a lot, like I said in the last fixture. And I think Martinez will save a lot. And I think the bonus points will be going to Martinez here.
Little thing to add. With Grealish out, will we see a resurgence in someone like El Ghazi or McGinn?
Yeah. Maybe. And obviously Ross Barkley as well is back from injury. Ross Barkley. So El Ghazi was the flavour of the month for two, three weeks
or something. Yeah. Okay, that was my hot take. Crystal Palace Man United is a weird one because on paper, Man United should just walk over them. But Man United, a bit like Arsenal, got this weird thing. I don't know if it's the Solskjaer effect this season, but every now and again, even in good form, suddenly they'll just implode against average opposition.
Fernandes will fucking wreck them. And no, that he will. He's so good. Like I said, the only reason I'm not captaining Fernandes this week is because of that Chelsea fixture. But I honestly think Fernandes is going to wind up with another 12-pointer at a minimum.
I'm feeling bad for Crystal Palace. They were half decent earlier in the season, and now they're just terrible.
We need to talk. I know we don't talk about, we don't analyse Premier League
overly,
games.
Not overly.
But that Crystal Palace-Brighton game, Crystal Palace had less than 30% possession. They had 3 shots on goal the whole game. Brighton obviously had over 70% possession, but they also had 22 or 23 shots on goal, a number of them blocked, a number of them saved, a number of them off target. But Crystal Palace beat them 2-1, and it came from 2 goals. The first one from Hakuna Matata, whatever his name was.
Racist?
Cheeky. No, his name's Mateta.
Okay.
Cheeky back heel. I showed it to you. I showed you the highlight, and you were like, that is a fucking good goal.
I was like, you cheeky fuck.
But then Benteke's goal. As that ball was coming in, I thought, he's going to hit this back into the 6-yard box and someone's going to belt this in. No. First time hit from Benteke, bottom left-hand corner.
It was
in
well
the
95th taken.
Minute.
It was well taken. Stupid. And do you know my favourite bit about that highlight is literally in the build-up to it, the commentator is saying something along the lines of, if he goes and gets a goal now, that would be, you know, blah, blah,
fucking
blah.
Fucking daylight robbery.
And then it happened.
Yeah. And you said this to me earlier when we were in the kitchen making a cup of tea. You said to me, Crystal Palace are nothing without Zaha. And I think watching that game, I think you're right.
He's off in the summer for sure. So Palace need a big rebuild.
Yeah. The next game's Crystal. No, we just talked about
they won't
that.
Make him play it again.
We wouldn't shut the fuck up. The next game is Fulham-Tottenham. This is the second game for me, which Tottenham should win.
Redemption game for Tottenham, this one, I'd imagine.
Yeah, this is the same fixture for Leeds in the last game week, you know, where it's Leeds-Southampton. You're like, oh, hopefully Leeds get something. Boom, 3-0. All three players win.
Tottenham should
for me,
win
Tottenham. Tottenham's going to do
the
that.
The question
again.
Will be, will we get the full Son and Kane link-up? Fulham aren't going to press them
I fucking
hard.
Hope so.
But don't count out Josh Madger to get one on the counter.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I don't give a fuck because I don't have any Tottenham defenders, so it's not going to affect me. There's in the slightest.
Just a foreshadowing. We might have a mailbag question later that talks about Tottenham's defenders.
Mailbag time.
Not yet. Pump the brakes. West Brom versus Everton. Obviously, you're watching Pereira. Everton, yeah, DCL. He's going to turn up, surely.
You know, it's hard to not think about another Everton asset somewhere in the team. I don't have Luka Dean. I'm not going to get him in. I don't want another defender.
Earlier in the season, I had Richarlison and James Rodriguez was a hot pick.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing discontent and that he wants to leave and all this business.
Well,
Richarlison's a class player, though.
Yeah, but ignoring all of that, James not coming into my team, or James Rodriguez, sorry, not coming into my team. I talked to you last week. I thought James might be an option here. I was a little bit put off by that news about that being discontented.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought...
You know the problem as well with Richarlison? He's listed as a forward.
And he wears earrings. He's a twat.
You heard it here first.
The next game, the last game of the game week, another huge fixture. We talked about this.
Probably the game of the game week, really.
Potentially. Game of the game week because 6th and 7th place here.
Stakes, high stakes. I call that a six-pointer.
Yeah. You did say that a couple of weeks ago, actually. Chelsea versus Liverpool. Versus Chelsea. So it's at
Liverpool.
At Liverpool. I actually think Chelsea's going to get
the
result. Me too.
I think Chelsea are going to compound the misery on Liverpool. Liverpool are really at risk. I know, you know.
You know what? Liverpool's going to be the favourite here. I'm going to go on to Sportsbet, another one of our sponsors, and I'm going to check the odds on this match. Put your hard-earned
money on it.
And I'm going to put a $10 bet on Chelsea right now. I'm that confident that Tuchel...
and his boys.
...is confident. And I'm that confident that Klopp and his boys aren't so confident.
It doesn't matter in FPL terms, ultimately, but really Liverpool are staring down the barrel of no Champions League next season, aren't they?
Yeah, and... that might do them the world of good because you're looking at a team that kind of needs to come back to where the fans now expect them to be. And the easiest way to do that is to not be worrying too much about...
Well, I reckon a core of a successful team only lasts for maybe 3 years and then you need a rebuild. So maybe we'll see a bit of that in the summer. But on that note, let's take a break because that was... pretty fucking exhausting. And we'll come back and talk about our plans for game week 26. The double game week.
Yep. Let's take the break just so I can put this bet on Chelsea paying $3.30.
Gamble responsibly, guys.
If I win, do gamble responsibly. If I win, I'm going to buy you a hat.
Oh, thank you. We'll be back. Bench Boss Boys. Scott, are your children going to be able to eat this week or have you just gambled all your money?
That's the bet receipt, mate. $10. My kids aren't going to eat this week. Tell you what, I don't have any kids, but I've got two border collies, and $10 wouldn't buy them a loaf of shit meat because my partner won't let me buy them crap food. I just want to get the food from Woolworths. She won't let me get that.
No, I'm that. I'm the same as your partner. I buy fancy food for my dog. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
You said, are you talking about your dog or your daughter?
I said my dog. Christ.
God, I don't know.
No, in fact, my dog probably eats even better than my daughter. Anyway. What are you going to do for game week 26, you fucking idiot?
I've been posturing. Sorry if you just heard that. I just ran into the table. I've been talking about what my plans are subtly throughout the entire podcast, but I might as well just get straight to it here because this is the section where we do talk about it. I'm waiting for the Champions League and Europa games to finish so that I can see how Madison and Co.
So you're holding off on your transfers.
I'm doing that smart thing that I haven't done all season. I've only done it for the last two game weeks. Last game week, I didn't make a transfer, so I have two up my sleeve right now. So I've got three possible transfers.
You're holding up two fingers, by the way. Anyway,
That's the bourbon. I've got three fingers up, mate.
The listener doesn't know. Carry on.
There are three possible transfers for me ahead. Salah and Bamford out, Kane and Barnes in. Right, and that's dependent, obviously, on the Leicester games, and obviously whether or not Kane gets injured in Tottenham's fixture.
Do you then try and get Bamford back in at some point?
Yeah, of course. Of course I do.
But at the expense of what?
Depends on the fixtures for Antonio and the other dude that I have in my team.
But ideally, you'd hang on to Kane.
You know what? Maybe not. And I'll get to that. Okay. I'll get to that. I'll get to why after off. Let me finish this first. And remind me not to move past that because that is probably an important point. The next option is Salah and Bamford out, Pereira and Kane in. And that's based on is Madison fully fit and do I want to take a 4-point hit? And I didn't mean to make that rhyme. The next option is Salah, Madison, and Bamford out, Barnes, Pereira, and Kane in.
Bold.
And that's if Madison is proper fucking cooked. Now, no matter what happens, I will be triple captaining Harry Kane, and that is a promise.
Really? You said you were going to triple captain Pope.
Yeah, but remember after I said that Pope was injured.
You were never going to do it, mate.
I know, I would have done it if anyway, he wasn't injured.
Let's not dwell on the past. You're going to triple captain Harry Kane.
The only thing that will stop me is if he gets an injury in the Europa League.
Really, this is it. You're going to play the triple captain.
I'm playing the triple captain chip.
You and they're playing here. Fulham away in their second game and Burnley at home in the first. Okay.
Yeah. Mate, I'm not the only one. I reckon, I honestly think there'll be at least 100,000 people triple captaining. I reckon at least 100,000.
Oh, probably more, to be fair.
Yeah. Now, so what I wanted to say earlier was, will Bamford being out of my team be a long-term thing? No, it won't. I do not believe that Leeds have they do have a fixture in game week 29. I do not believe that it's a good idea to have Bamford out of my team for very long.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with Tottenham also playing in game week 29 and West Ham playing in game week 29, I'm not in any hurry to keep DCL for game week 29. The only reason I'm not getting rid of DCL is because I really like the Southampton-West Brom fixtures for next week, and Leeds are only playing one. I think I will bring Bamford in for DCL when they play Chelsea in the next game week. I know they're playing Burnley after that, but I want Bamford back in for game week 29. And then after that, I think because of Spurs fixtures coming up, they've got some tough ones. They've got Man United, Everton. After game week 30, maybe bringing Harry Kane back out, bringing back in DCL, and then pumping that money back into my midfield with either KDB or Salah.
Got it all worked out. All right.
Well, like we talked about, the last week's episode name was
The Best Laid Plans.
The Best Laid Plans. And as we know, planning in FPL only means so much when everything is outside of your control. So,
totally.
What are you doing?
Totally. Okay. Well, I have made a transfer because that's what I do. So I didn't want, even going forward, as much as we both know someone that has had three Burnley defenders in their team for the last three game weeks and it's gone very well for them, I don't want two Burnley defensive players in my team going forward. So I took the opportunity. I was going to do nothing and then I was like, I don't like Burnley's fixtures. So Pope out and Martinez in. That was my transfer this week. Otherwise, generally pretty happy with my starting 11. I've only got one player in my starting 11 that has just the one game in this double game, and that's Patrick Bamford.
And who are Leeds playing in that first fixture? Is it Arsenal?
No, thank fuck. We lost to them the other week. Leeds are playing Aston Villa at home.
It's a fixture where Bamford could score.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad fixture.
My team is currently looking at Martinez in goal, me, Cancelo, target in defence, Gundogan, Fernandez, Salah, Barnes in midfield, and then up front, Calvert-Lewin, Kane and Bamford. And as I say, Bamford's the only one who isn't playing. My other two Leeds assets, I'm happy to hang on to them for now, but it's Dallas, Rafinha on the bench, along with Creswell, Sanchez in goal.
Creswell's been such a good pick for you this year, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's been great. At the moment, my captain's armband is sat on Fernandez. But
that's your bus armband.
Yeah, but now, and maybe pressure.
Have I talked you out of it?
No, more, not just you, but other people are kind of talking me into maybe the armband should be on Harry Kane.
You have Harry Kane? I wasn't listening when you were talking just now.
My front line is Calvert.
I'll fucking listen to the podcast later. I'm half of our viewership. But
Calvert, Lewin, Kane and Bamford's my front line. So Kane.
And are none of your other players playing? Obviously, Creswell's—they're only playing Man City, and you wouldn't want to maybe roll that dice. So
he's
none of your other subs are playing two games, so you're definitely playing Bamford ahead.
Every one of my bench is playing one game. The only person on the pitch with one is Bamford.
Look, I'll say this now: I know that triple captain, apart from the wild card doesn't win you points. The wild card is more of a strategic chip, so it's not like the free hit where you can play it to maximize a double game week. It's not like the bench boost where you get extra points for playing it, or the triple captain. The triple captain is your last opportunity to get good points.
Mm.
There's no way you're going to play it this week.
Kane's on back-to-back two-pointers, by the way. I know, one was City.
He's fucking due.
Yeah, maybe.
For a goal.
Okay, well, you know, next week, well, I'll be telling Ben, won't I? You won't be here, but I'll be talking about what I ended up doing my
Celtic. I'll be listening, like I said, half the listenership. But we'll take a quick break now, but then we'll get straight into those mailbag questions because this has taken a long time to get through.
This is looking like a
marathon event.
An hour-long episode, so let's get into that beefy mailbag.
Apologies, viewers.
Mailbag time. Certainly is. Okay, so the first question... Is that bloody Ben? I feel like we talk about Ben more than anything on here. So he's going to be guest host next week. He's got another question.
If he had sent his questions in next week, he could have answered them himself.
Yeah, that's very meta. So one thing I need to note is we got two different people have asked questions this week.
Three.
Yeah, three questions, but two people.
No.
Oh, three. Oh, fuck me.
Forgot about that other bloke we saw down at the bottle shop.
We did. As we were buying alcohol, there was a guy, and we got a bloody question off a guy off the street.
We actually got two questions from him. The first one was, are you going to finish that bottle or make us mark? And the answer is
nearly.
Probably not.
But nearly.
I might vomit.
All right, so we got shitloads of questions. But the second person is someone that earlier in the season that I abused on this podcast. Remember when I went through that little spell of absolutely abusing the shit out of people that sent questions in?
To be fair, we had recorded the podcast once, realised we forgot to hit record, and then re-recorded it, and then had twice as many drinks, and you were drunk.
I was on
And
one.
You were just like...
abusing the shit out of him. Yeah. He's asked two questions! Anyway, that guy, who we'll get to, reminded me of that, because Ben, next week's guest host, has asked two questions. So Ben, you greedy fuck...
You prick.
How dare you? You're about to get 2 weeks in a row hosting this fucking show, and you've decided it's okay to ask two questions.
You know what I've just realised? That means I get to send in a question next week for Ben to answer.
Yeah, do it. Okay, so let's crack on. Ben's first question. Do you think I should stick with Salah or sell him and try to get Kane in my team? That's the first question.
Easy one for me to answer. I'm doing the same thing. I'm selling Salah, and I said that before a minute. I'm not lying about this. I'm not doing a leave from the fucking football family and lying about my things just so my wife goes off and does something else.
Controversial.
Look it up on Twitter. Hilarious. I'm selling Salah to bring in Harry Kane. The only thing that will stop me, Ben, is if Kane does play in the Europa League fixture and he's forced off with an injury. Or after that Europa League fixture picks up an injury and that's released in the Friday press conference. So keep an eye on that. My advice is
get it done.
Yes.
This does kind of slightly lead into Theo's question, manager of Wenger Inn, where he talks about, is it worth taking a 4 or 8 point hit to bring in a player on a double game week?
Well, hang on. Which fucking question? No. Because you haven't even answered this.
No, stop. The reason why I'm saying it is I have been speaking to the man on the street, and I've spoken to a few people this week who are all saying, I really desperately want to get Kane in my team this week, but I feel like I might have to spend 8 points.
Well, you fucking should have done what I did last week and saved your transfer. You know what I've just realised?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the Makers Market's getting a bit fuzzy. You'd really suit a top knot. What do you think about...
I can show you photos. I used to have one.
What do you think about this? Ben's initial question about taking Salah out?
If it's because he really wants to get Kane in, which is literally the question, then yes. I feel for the people that have got to spend a lot of points to make it happen.
Yeah, now short term, it's probably a big yes. Long term, though, what do you think, genuinely, is the best option long term? If Ben got hit by a bus next week, obviously the
who's
fucking
he left
podcast
in his team, Salah or Kane?
Yeah.
Purely based on form, it's got to be Kane.
Yeah,
Tottenham aren't exactly blowing people away at the moment, but Salah is just 2 points central because Liverpool are on a slide.
There you go. I think we've answered that question.
So it's Kane. Get it done.
For us, yes, get it done. I'm doing it.
So we may as well close the gap there on Theo's question as well. Is taking a 4 or 8 point hit to bring a player in? Do you know what? In the cold light of day, you've got to be thinking, will they bring in more points than I'm spending on doing it? Also, you've got to consider, is this a player I want in for future game weeks? I.e. the return might not necessarily be in that game week.
Yeah, so we'll jump back to Ben's second question in a minute. So to answer Ben, Theo's question from my perspective, so it depends on the player you're considering. So for me, if you were considering bringing in a Leeds asset, there was a reason that the Twitter universe were talking about Leeds assets.
Last week.
No one was talking about Southampton assets.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that was so evident in that second game when Leeds thrashed Southampton 3-0. Yes, it's worth it. However, there are always exceptions to that rule. There are, it depends on who you're taking out. So there are players that are so good that they will outscore double game weekers in a single game week.
Fernandez.
You know, 9 times out of 10. Bruno Fernandes. At the moment, Harvey Barnes and James Maddison. Yeah. Arguably, those both of those players are doing it as well. Stuart Dallas is a player that you can afford to keep in because he is playing in an attacking midfield role as a fucking defender.
Yeah.
So my only advice to Theo is look at the player that you're looking to transfer out. Don't worry so much about the player you're looking to transfer in, because if the player you're transferring in is playing two games, at a bare minimum, you're turning a two-pointer into a four-pointer.
Mm.
Whereas, which we don't consider a blank hit, whereas if you're looking at a player like Bruno Fernandes, or you don't do that, because you're looking at what could otherwise be a 12-pointer.
Yep, you're right. There's a few moving parts there. Hopefully that somewhat answers that. So Ben's second question, he says, do you think there'd be any merit to bring in a Spurs defender for the double game week, given they've largely been hot garbage at the back so far this season?
You make fun of us, Ben, but you're going to do this next week and you're going to make mistakes, and I really fucking hope you do.
Fucking car wreck. So Spurs defenders, are they worth a punt for the double game week? They've got Fulham. No. The second game is Fulham away, and the first game is Burnley at home. So, I mean, Tottenham might get a clean sheet in the Burnley game. In fact, they probably will.
They might get a clean sheet in both games, but to answer the question, the only real Spurs defensive asset that I have even considered this season is Eric Dier. And I saw a side shot of his face and his weird head the other day, and I thought, God, I'm glad I didn't transfer him. He's fucking ugly.
Well,
but
as far as form goes, by the way, he didn't even play against West Ham. But Davies is there, Sanchez as well. But
I'm not even going to look at the form. Historically, nobody talks about Spurs' defensive assets.
Not since Gareth Bale's playing left back for them.
When you're talking about defenders, people talk about teams like Burnley. At the moment, they're talking about teams like Brighton. You're also looking at teams like West Ham. Some of the more attacking defensive assets, probably ignore Ben Chilwell now, but Man City.
Rest in peace, Chilwell.
Yeah, Chilwell, you had a good run, mate. It's not your fault, Tuchel's a prick. You're looking at teams like Man City and some of your more attacking assets. Now, I know Tarek Lamptey's been injured for a while. I know Arsenal are looking at him now, but also players like Andrew Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold from Liverpool. I don't think people have ever talked about Tottenham.
Well, why don't we slightly subvert this question then and make this show an hour and a half long and go, well, if you're looking for a defender who's going to maximise the double game week, what teams and players would you be looking at instead then? If you're looking at that kind of price point, I'd say Burnley are going to get a clean sheet against Spurs, but then they're
possibly only one clean sheet.
Yeah, they're going to get smashed by Leicester.
He is right. Burnley and Fulham are objectively the easiest game week fixtures. Everton is another one. They're playing Southampton and West Brom. So if you don't have Luka Dean, he's a good shout. Seamus Coleman, another good shout. Yerry Mina's injured, so he's out. But he would have been a good shout if he wasn't.
Potentially Godfrey. Holgate
is another one.
Yeah, if money's a problem, then you're going to be wanting to look at maybe Godfrey or Keane.
The other team that I would always look at is Leicester. Now, I know they're playing Arsenal, but like we talked about, I'm used to being let down by Arsenal. So there's a solid chance that Arsenal don't score against Leicester.
John Evans,
but also there's another Pereira. Mm. There's another Pereira, not Matias Pereira from West Brom, but there's a Leicester Pereira.
Is that Ricardo Pereira?
There you go. That's his name.
I'll
tell you who I'd be avoiding week.
Go on.
And I know, I think Ben has Rudiger in his team, is Chelsea defenders. Man United and Liverpool are not easy games.
No.
You might keep a clean sheet against Liverpool. You're not going to keep a clean sheet against Man United when Fernandes is playing silly football all season.
But to answer your question, don't bring in any Spurs defenders. Grow up. Okay, what was the last question? The man on the street.
So,
Nick. Brizzy Ballers.
Nick from Brizzy Ballers asked us, is it worth triple captaining Harry Kane this week?
I feel like we've already covered it. We've answered it.
I'm saying yes.
The answer seems to be yes, and now I'm feeling the peer pressure. I was already half a step there.
I mean, don't do it, because I'm doing it.
Of course, of course. But it's that half a step. Like, I was already half a step there. I was already, oh, maybe I shouldn't captain Fernandes. Maybe I should captain Kane. I think I was slightly scared off before because I felt like Kane wasn't in good form, but you're quite right. He is due a goal. Maybe that's the peer pressure talking, but do I amp that up? I can't, in good faith, myself triple captain a guy I don't have that much confidence in. You're going to do it, and that's going to be funny. Oh, mate. I'm looking forward to you turning there. You know,
four points into eight. Yeah, yeah. So I will say this. If you don't already follow this person on Twitter, if you don't have Twitter, that's your fault.
At Bench Boost Boys.
Follow those guys. They're fucking hilarious. But Twitter's a really great tool for FPL managers. Now, if you don't have any knowledge of this guy, just look him up on Google. I'm sure you'll be able to find his work. Ben Crellin has the inside track to all of the double and blank game weeks. Now, if you're not going to play your triple captain on a double game week this week, which is our last confirmed double game week, there are a few more coming up, but you really want to know what they are, and Ben Crellin will be able to give you an idea of what those look like. The reason why I want to do Harry Kane this week is because I cannot fathom another player with two better fixtures, irrespective of form. Mm-hmm. I'm talking purely on fixture, and I'm thinking about to that bloke that won last year, that Oxford mathematician.
Oh, yeah.
Who won it, and he said, don't worry about form, focus on fixture.
Yep.
When it comes to fixtures, Harry Kane, as a player, with his points total, has the best fixtures this week. DCL also wouldn't be a bad shout, but for me, it's about that, and that's why I'm doing it. Mm. Ben Crellin, so there has not been any confirmation from the Premier League about these new fixtures and the new and the other double game weeks and the blank game weeks. So I know game week 33 has a few blanks. Spurs, Southampton, Man City, and Fulham aren't playing in game week 33. That's confirmed. But double ups for those games in hand for the other teams, and as well as the FA Cup, Europa League, and Champions League fixtures will move around some of these Premier League fixtures. Those aren't confirmed yet because those semi-finals aren't confirmed for those fixtures. So there are going to be double game weeks coming up. Ben Crellin is the guy that calculates it. He does it really fucking well.
You're fucking waffling.
All I'm saying is, what was the question? All I'm saying, Nick, is I think it's a great opportunity to use your triple captainship. That's a really
fucking long way to say yes, but I appreciate the breakdown.
And truly, this is all a shout out to Ben Crellin, because I think the entire FPL community is grateful for that dude's fucking work. Yeah. He's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, absolutely. Get on Twitter, follow him. Follow us at Bench Boost Boys. We've just had four questions from three different people. Our sack has never been so full. And on that note, good luck for the double game week 26.
I'll be away next week. I'll be in Sydney, and then the next week I'll be in Adelaide at some winery. And I can't wait to listen in the next morning to hear Ben butcher some of his pronunciations of players' names. Actually, he's English, so he's probably... It's going to make it sound way more legitimate podcast.
We're getting off on the wrong foot here. He's not English.
Welsh.
Yeah, wow.
I apologise.
You can't go a podcast episode without offending some nationality.
He's from the UK.
All right,
I'm saying it's going to bring a level of authenticity to the podcast that we haven't already had. Ben, good luck next week. I really hope you smash it as a guest presenter. And the following week, I can't wait to do this again in a few weeks' time with the listeners. I really hope I don't lose top spot in all of my mini leagues.
I hope you do.
Join the mini league again. P2IFBX.
Yeah, bloody join.
Join it. I don't care if you're a Nigerian prince and you're flying high in your points total. Knock me down another fucking peg.
Oh, okay. Fighting talk, eh?
See you in 3 weeks.
Goodbye.